Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast for Friday, November 18th, 2016. I'm your host, Brian Chaffin, sitting in for Jeff Gamet, and today I am joined by one John Martellaro, Mr. John Martellaro. Thanks for being here today, John.
You're very welcome. Happy to be here.
Well, let's see if we can't change that. We had some. Let's talk about. Let's talk about bulbs first.
Oh yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did watch it. I have a hat full of thoughts on that commercial.
Well, so we're talking about Apple's new MacBook Pro commercial. It's called Bulbs, and it is centered around the idea that
of ideas.
Of ideas, yeah, with light bulbs as the idea. And actually, it's kind of weird because Apple's using exploding light bulbs as the metaphor. And, you know, we're looking through history at some really important big ideas. And at the same time, there's this chain of light bulbs that's going through a town. And then it eventually winds up with a MacBook Pro and a woman using the touch bar to scrub through a video of an exploding light bulb.
That's the long and short of it, but there's plenty of nuances in between.
All right.
Allow me to pontificate.
Please.
This is a wonderful commercial about ideas, but my first reaction was these ideas were created by people in the past, long ago, without the assistance of Macs and Apple. And so the thing is, it's really more of a celebration of humanity and brilliance and ideas than it is about Apple's contributions, although there is a very short reference in there to a 1984 original Mac, because I noticed the mouse, the square mouse on the desktop. But aside from all the great ideas, the apple didn't fall on his head. It fell nearby, but it didn't hit him. Aside from the ideas of, you know, paper clips and
Sir Isaac Newton. Rather than, say, the Newton 2100 message.
Right.
Okay, just making sure.
Oh, okay. So we've got some classic ideas of the past, you know, the typewriter, paper clips, zippers.
Okay,
that's great. Toilet paper, yeah, it's great. These are wonderful. So yawn, right? And then you've got some modern ideas that they showed, you know, the Concorde, which was designed with slide rules and incipient mainframes, possibly, but mostly slide rules. And you've got the space shuttle, which is no doubt not designed on the Macintosh at all. So you got this litany of ideas, and they're wonderful, and they're fantastic, and they make great contributions to our civilization. How has Apple helped? And then at the very end, it seems like there was an afterthought. Oh, let's, on a wish and a prayer, toss a Hail Mary and say, well, maybe all the great ideas of the future will be created by the new touch bar. How about that for an idea? And I went, oh really?
Yeah, I see. I saw the central message much differently. I saw the central message as a string of great ideas, with the newest of those great ideas being the MacBook Pro itself. And not that the message is that the touch bar is the thing that's going to be, because they use the tagline, introducing a tool for all the ideas to come. So it's not the idea that the touch bar is going to be somehow involved with everything, but that the MacBook Pro itself is the latest great idea, and that it's there to empower you to do stuff in the future.
Possibly, but I didn't quite see it that way. I kind of saw it as, look, we've built this touch bar. Now it's going to enable you to do all these great things. And that's why they had it activating a light bulb exploding on the desktop, to say, well, this touch bar is going to ignite your creative future. Except Apple's quickly departing the creative professionals, which has been a discussion ever since October 27th.
Well, we say that, but what if Apple doesn't believe that it is?
Well, I mean, we have to judge them by their actions. You know, 1,030 days since the Mac Pro was released. Shutting down of the automation group in Sal Segoyan. Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Apple didn't shut down the automation group. They eliminated Sal Segoyan's position.
I thought it was the whole group.
The group may or may not still be there.
Ah. Okay. I stand possibly corrected.
Yeah, but exactly. There's a bit of an unknown there. And also, the name of this ad is MacBook Pro bulbs. It's not Touch Bar Pro bulbs.
Nor is it Macintosh. So all the ideas of the future are going to be on our MacBooks Pros.
Yeah, because
all the other Macs are not up to snuff.
Right. That's a good point.
If they don't exist.
That's a good point. All right. I also look at this another way. The imagery in the ad is compelling, right? The little sort of snapshots through town, the string of bulbs exploding, although that was seemed like it was singularly wasteful message for Apple.
Well, I think it was a metaphor reference to the falling dominoes and the rolling marbles and creativity of those people.
It was, for sure. But the imagery itself was compelling to me. I mean, the colors were vibrant. The shots were fantastic. And it seemed to me the kind of thing that would rivet a viewer's attention, and then at the very end, you get the Apple messaging.
Yeah, but let's look at it from a marketing standpoint, because I actually worked for Apple in marketing as a science and technology marketer back a long time ago. Does it show the product? Barely. Does it make you want the product? You don't know. Does it demonstrate the product's capabilities?
Hold on a second. So. Apple never does any of those things.
I know. Does it? What's the net effect on this? Does it make you? Marketing should make you want the product.
So wait, hold
in some
on.
Fashion, are we, are or we, appreciate what you can do with the product?
Are we splitting this conversation off into a condemnation of all Apple advertising? Because
I'm just looking at this particular commercial. I'm saying, yeah, lots of pretty lights, lots of great ideas, lots of references to the past. And we talked about the past earlier in the week in the celebration of the Design in Cupertino book. You know, there's lots of references to the past. And past Macintoshes. And so you look upon it as a singular commercial. I'm not trying to integrate it into my thinking about all the other products. But I look at the commercial and I go, okay, here's this all this stuff about ideas of the past. Human beings have been brilliant. They built great products. Now what? Now what's my conclusion from this ad? That I'm supposed to decide that the Touch Bar is either the product of Apple's brilliance and genius, which is sort of self-serving,
but it's going
to enable me to be brilliant in the future, which is dubious.
But I disagree. I completely disagree with your focus on the Touch Bar. It's a commercial for the MacBook Pro where the Touch Bar features. I mean the majority. I mean so okay the Apple product placement in the spot takes place over the last 10 seconds of a 1:37 commercial.
Sure seemed like an add-on to me.
And
it didn't build to it. The commercial itself didn't lead up to that in a compelling storytelling way in my mind.
Okay. All right. That may or may not be, but the point is that in that last 10 seconds when you do see the Apple product, the vast majority of what you see is the MacBook Pro, not the Touch Bar alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think it's fair to, I don't think it's fair to say that the commercial is about the Touch Bar when it's not. It's about the whole product.
Yes, it's in the best of circumstances. What it's saying is that the MacBook Pro, because of its design and its excellence and its fostering of creativity and ideas, is going to allow you to be. Is going to inspire you and enable you to be as brilliant as all these other things that we just showed you.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, in the best possible sense. All right, that's a good great. Way. That's
so I'm glad. I'm glad that you love the commercial as much as I do.
That's
I'm glad that.
It takes a while to sort of. It takes a while to pull that out, and I'm not convinced it's an ironclad case. But that's the best hope for the commercial. Yes, and my reaction is, I remain unimpressed. I remain dubious about that proposition, but it's there.
Huh. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. Speaking of agreeing to disagree, we got a couple of emails this week, and Jeff hasn't been here. Like, you know, it seems like I should let Jeff answer his email, but he's not here. So let's just answer. Let's just rip through his email and answer it for him.
Well, I think there was one notable email that was directed at me and Dave Hamilton in a show we did earlier in the week, so we're okay.
All right, let's go with that. David Jackson wrote in with this. It is my considered opinion that 4K is missing from the Apple TV because it is a 1% issue, not a mainstream issue. Every article I could find in 10 minutes of Google Foo only discusses the projected level of penetration for the 4K TV market. Always discussed in a period far enough out, 3 or 4 years, that no one will hold them accountable for their guesses. I could not find even a single article discussing the actual market penetration as of this time. So in summary, this is the part I like. So in summary, John is a video snob and is projecting his wants onto the Apple TV. The 4K output is a criteria that the video solution vendors feel they must check off to compare to each other favorably. In the fall of 2016, that feature is not being used in even 95% of the real-life installations. The rosiest predictions show only a one-third of households having 4K within 3 years.
Okay, let me address this.
Okay.
First of all, as writers, we do a lot of research, and we rely on industry sources. So it annoys me.
Speak for yourself, sir.
It annoys me a little bit when somebody throws out a number like 1% without citing a URL or a source for that. Second, I did do my own Google search.
Wait, John, he's talking politically there. He's talking about it being a 1%er.
Well, I'm a physicist. I'm a numbers person. You tell me 1%, I'm going, you know, give me numbers.
Well, yeah, but it's a political statement. I mean, it's it's a 1%er issue. Yeah.
Streamingmedia.com from May 31st, 2016. 15% of U.S. homes will have 4K by the end of the year. All right, so there's 100 million households in this country. 15% of 100 million households is 15 million households. Here we are, the Christmas season. There's a market for 4K television because you cannot buy a TV bigger than 40 inches that's 1080p anymore. Go into your Best Buy or go into Costco or Sam's Club and look at the TVs that are bigger than 40 inches. They're all 4K TVs. If you're going to buy a TV this Christmas, it's going to be a 4K TV of some kind or another, whether it has HDR or not. Maybe it depends on whether it's on sale as a model from earlier in the year or whether it's the latest and greatest. So we got a market for 15 million units. Roku thinks there's a market because on October 18th, Roku came out with their 4K player with HDR. Amazon's been selling a 4K player for quite a while now. They think there's a market. I think 15 million homes is a good market. If you wait until 2019 to start selling your product, your competitors will already be in place and have figured out the market, absorbed the market, digested their problems, analyzed the market, and have their third generation product out. And you'll be sort of out the gate, you know, waiting, kind of having not done anything. So there's a proper time to get into the market. And when there's no TV you can buy anymore bigger than 40 inches that isn't 4K TV, people are going to want to attach 4K devices.
That's my
story, and I'm sticking with it.
I want to start from the standpoint that you are, in fact, a video snob. I want that staked. I want my ground staked clearly there. But here's an interesting thing. Apple is known for dumping legacy technologies and pushing new technologies, right?
Always.
Right, always. Almost always. Actually, not always, but almost always. For instance, the MacBook Pro has got these four Thunderbolt 3/USB-C ports.
Sure, sure. And our desk full of dongles proves to us that the rest of the industry hasn't caught up with Apple's lead.
Right. You know, going back to the iMac, it dumped the floppy drive, ADB, the headphone jack on the iPhone 7. Apple is known for pushing on with a new. But with Apple TV, Apple has consistently been behind the curve for new technologies, instead clinging to the legacy products and legacy technologies.
Why is that? Right, is it that Apple doesn't want to be a market leader and appear competitive and cool and have the latest and greatest? Why is that?
It seems like with a product like Apple TV that Apple should be just as forward-thinking because to David Jackson's point, and David's email was well written, well argued, and we very much appreciate the feedback and the comments.
Yes, but
to his point, I would imagine that the kinds of numbers he's looking at are exactly why Apple has said we don't need to do 4K yet because no one has it. But why not be out in front on this issue the same way that Apple is out in front on things like USB-C and the headphone jack and every other kind of thing?
And there's a reason why Roku is the market share leader is because it's their business to be the best.
Well, okay.
And it seems to me like Apple says, well, we can't compete with Roku, so we're not going to because they embarrass us. We're not going to play that game.
Hold on, though. To your point, Roku just came out with this.
Yes.
And Apple TV, the current Apple TV is a year old. So if Roku is supposed to be the market leader here, which they probably are, and they just came out with it in October.
Well, no, wait a minute. I believe Roku had a 4K TV before October. What was notable about the October 18th event was is they added HDR to their 4K TV.
Ah,
okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, gotcha. I think I'm right on that.
I think you are right on that. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. All right. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And so Apple cedes the leadership position on this particular topic on the Apple TV. Jeffy, just like it, you know, Apple was slow to do 1020p. Seems like they were slow to do 780p.
1080p,
yeah, whatever. Sorry. it's early, man. It's been a long 2 weeks here. Apple has been slow to bring all of those things to market in support of the Apple TV, and it's weird when Apple is always positioning itself as forward thinking everywhere else. Doesn't really make sense to me.
I haven't figured it out yet myself either. The only explanation I have for any of this that sort of embraces the Macintosh situation is that all creative elements go through the chief design officer, Johnny Ive. And if you had independent divisions, if you had an Apple TV division with an Apple TV vice president, and I know this isn't Apple's management structure and they have good reason to be structured the way they are, but if in an alternate timeline, Apple had a Macintosh senior vice president manager and they had an Apple TV senior vice president manager, they would be saying to themselves, what do I need to do to compete? What do I need to do to win, to get the market share, to make my customers love me, to be out ahead and to be a market leader
and to be successful. Apple TV is still a hobby.
Well, didn't Tim Cook say it wasn't a hobby anymore about a year ago?
Did he say that?
He came out with, I think he did.
Well, if it's not a hobby anymore, let's get some 4K TV going.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's get some 4TV.
I mean, a lot of people are going to buy a 4K HDR TV this Christmas, and the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go buy a Roku 4K so they can stream Netflix and Amazon in 4K.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, Apple is
As we know, there's no Amazon there's no Amazon movie player for Apple TV, but there is for the Roku.
Apple is essentially saying, we don't want the people who are most aggressive with their TV buying. That's weird. It's weird. It's actually weird.
I never thought about it that way, but that's one way to look at it. We don't want them.
Hey, another quick comment on that same same episode came in from Brian. Actually, it's from at B. I don't even know how to pronounce your last name. It's Gies. Let's just go with that. He said that he thinks that the Apple TV needs iCloud backup so that you don't have to reinstall your apps and set them up. That's the setup being the important thing, especially for any kind of logins. If you end up moving to another device or upgrading to a new device later. And
Intriguing.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I never thought about it.
I've never heard that mentioned. I never thought about it either myself, but it makes perfect logical sense. You know, I've been running an Apple TV since they first came out, the day they first one came out. And I've never had that problem. But I imagine it's possible that if you're migrating to a new one, you'd want to have that feature.
Well, that's a great suggestion. As more subscription services come to Apple TV.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's that setup. Because no one really likes doing the typing with the remote. That doesn't make very many people happy.
Well, maybe if that suggestion were tweeted with at Tim Cook or whatever his Twitter name is, maybe he'd see that.
Tim_Cook, for what that's worth. All right. Well, okay, cool. We are out of time, John. Thank you very, very, very much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show. Great discussion today.
I agree. And thanks to our listeners for joining us, too. That is everything for today. And this time, I think I actually covered the outro. Is that right?
And we'll see you Monday. And Jeff will be back on TDO.